Off the ball.
Rugby.
She's like, yeah, it's a long time since we accepted moral victories in Munster, considering the history and the success of the club. Players won't feel that way. They would have been going out to get a victory. They did get 2 points, which, you know, is no mean feat considering who they were playing.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Yellow iPod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Hello and welcome to the LOI pod here on Off the Ball with Stephen Doyle. It's great to be back with you ahead of a very busy Easter weekend in the SSE Electricity League Premier and First Divisions. Before we go any further, here's what happened last time on Off the Ball.
Here's a ball into the box! And it's knocked home by Pat Hickey, would you believe it? Out of nothing, a cross came in from the far side from Marcus Strods, and he found Pat Hickey in the middle of the area. He knocks it in from close range. It's the first goal of the night. It's gone to the home team with 20 minutes on the clock. It's Bohemians 1 and Dundalk 0, and that will cut us all on the hop. The former Bohemians captain has a look up, sprays a pass out to the left-hand side, and he was looking. Oh, it's kept in play there, knocked across goal. There's a Ruby, and it's a goal for Dundalk. It's been coming, an equaliser scored by Arubi. It was a lovely ball knocked in by Owen Kenny. It is Bohemians 1, a Dundalk 1 in the 59th minute here at Daly Mount Park.
Yeah, really good play, and you could sense the Shedside Army have been sort of singing and dancing for the last 5 minutes. They felt their team was growing into this game.
Harry Bond batting away with Keith Buckley, who tidies it up back to his goalkeeper Minogue.
You have to love football, Stephen. Keith Buckley just bushes him out of the way, and everyone in the Jodystown went bananas. He's been doing that for the last 20 years in a ball short, not a bother on him. Oh, I love football.
A little bit flat. I give them credit, in fairness to them. They were very good tonight, but on our own performance, a little bit flat. Looked a little bit tired at times for some reason. Feel we could do better, but look, we didn't play well here tonight. We come out, you know, and we take a draw and get out of here, because I think on the share of it, possibly days.
How would you assess your team's performance?
We're probably frustrated. We felt maybe too short. I thought in the first half, I don't know how we were going in behind. I think thought we were the better team. I thought we had the better chances, but found ourselves a goal behind. We know we've character. We've come back a few times this year in Galway and in Tala, and you know, we were always in the game. I think after we've equalised, Bemmy has a great chance to put us 2-1 up, and it's a good save. But yeah, look, at it was a tough night. They're a good team, and you know, when we look back at it now, we were so thin tonight we couldn't fill out the bench. But every player who stepped foot on the pitch, any player who put their body on the line there tonight, deserves a lot of credit, because to come back, I suppose, is a good point. But we probably felt we could have got all three in an hour.
Yeah, what a night that was at Daly Mount Park. Bohemians 1-1 against Dundalk. And delighted to say I'm joined by Gareth McLean, as ever this week. And hang on a minute, that's not Vinnie Perth. No, that is the man who told me once before that the medal he treasures the most is the 2010 Setanta Sports Cup medal that he won with Bohemians back in the day. Barry Murphy, that's the one you love, isn't it, Barry? Yes, you keep it showing regularly.
An All-Ireland title, yeah. Can't knock it. Great win.
Anto Murphy scored the winner.
Anto Murphy, yeah. You're there, Gareth.
Shout out to Anto.
What a player Anto was. Barry, it's great to have you alongside us with Vinny out of action this weekend. So much to unpack, actually, from that little audio clip. But he was so right. He was so right, Vinny Perth. Like football is just the best game ever, isn't it? And when you think about, you know, Keith Buckley, I spoke to him actually after the game, just when I was down waiting to do the post-match interviews, and I just went up and I said, Bucko, wow, what a match, like, you know, but like coming here to play against your old club, like, how tough is that, Barry? I'm sure you might be able to, I suppose, empathise with him slightly as well.
Oh, definitely. Like, he's been there practically his whole life. I remember starting off from as a young lad coming through, and like the talent he had, the up and go to get into that first team, and to go and do that and be a stalwart in that Bohemians team, and to then move on after such a long career there. It definitely, when you come back to somewhere like that, you're apprehensive about how the fans are going to treat you. How are you going to do? You want to do well on the night. And he was absolutely exceptional. And it's something that kind of Kieran has done well around the Dundalk team as well, as they all have a point to prove. He's got Rob Cornwall in there at centre-half as well. And he wanted to go back and prove himself that night. And he did it in spades. I think he was excellent.
Yeah, Gareth, just like I actually spoke to Bucko as well about Harry Groom, the midfielder he had playing alongside me. I brought him up on the show a couple of years ago, and he's playing for Bray. Really kind of fancied him, and I spoke to Bucko about him, and it was interesting because it gives you an insight into how the experienced players in the dressing room can help the young players coming into matches like this, or especially at Dundalk where you've got them coming back up into the top flight. And he said, I just said to him, look, you're in the Premier Division now. Go out there, stick your chest out and, you know, show a bit of confidence. And I suppose it just shows you how much the experienced players in the dressing room can help the younger fellas.
Yeah, 100%. And even Kilduff himself, I mean, I would still consider, I mean, it's not long since he stopped playing as well, so he can relate a lot to them. It's funny, this Dundalk team, and I don't want to put too much pressure on the Dundalk team or Kieran Kilduff, but this reminds me a wee bit of Damien Duff's team that came out of the First Division with Shales. He's hiring or signing a lot of players that have got a point to prove and have been in the Premier Division but haven't been selected or haven't been given the confidence to go and play every week. And it's amazing when you give people confidence and they're playing every week in the Premier Division and they see wee signs of, you know what, this Premier Division isn't as, there's not as big of a step as I thought. And that's where, as you say, they stick out their chest and they get better and better and better. But I mean, they've gone to Tala, they've gone to the Brandywell, and they've gone to Dalymount. Probably three of the toughest places they go. And they've got 3 points. They should have won in the Brandywell. They've done really well. So the players will look at that and go, you know what? We've gone to those tough places. Now when we're at home, the new pitch, we can open up a wee bit more. We can go and get turn it into 3 points. And that's what they've done recently. They've gone and won games. But Harry Groom, he's really good. Having those players around him will help him as well. But you've got to have the belief and the confidence from the manager. And then you've got to have the skills and the attitude and the attitude of being a sponge to absorb that. I know, and Barry, I'll tell you, there's a lot of young players there that senior players have gone and tried to talk to. And they've just gone, what do you know? I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. And they've failed. But if you're a good young player and you take information on and take advice on, There's no reason why, with his talent, he can go and be a Premier Division player for many a year.
Yeah, we'll come back to Dundalk in a bit. Just to remind everybody, because it's such a long time since we've been having a look over the League of Ireland stuff. And listen, I'm gonna make a confession here and an apology to our viewers and listeners, lads. I was on Ireland duty for the last week, and of course covering the match last night against North Macedonia. And this morning, you got to do your regular, you know, adult stuff, be a parent and all that kind of thing. And I've had very little prep time. I'd normally put a couple of hours into getting ready for the podcast. So we're on the fly this week, lads. We're shooting from the hip. This is, let's call it expressionism, jazz expressionism this week on the LOI pod. So let's see where this takes us. But just to remind people from the last weekend of Premier Division results, we had Sligo Rovers being beaten at home by Shelburne by 1-0. That Bohemians Dundalk match 1-1. Shamrock Rovers 2-0 winners at home to Galway United. Derry City drew 2-2 with Drogheda United, and Waterford beaten at home by St Patrick's Athletic by 2-0. Now, coming up this week, we've got, of course, double fixtures for the clubs over the Easter weekend. So on Friday night, we'll see Drogheda United hosting Bohemians. That's our fixture for Friday night on Off the Ball. So we'll kick off with a preview of that one. Then it's Shelburne hosting Dundalk. Sligo Rovers go to Inchicore to play St Pat's. Waterford host Shamrock Rovers, while Derry City are away to Galway United. And then on Monday, Bohemians will be hosting Waterford. It's Galway away to Drogheda United. Dundalk entertain St Pat's. Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne clash at Tallaght Stadium on Monday night. And then we've got Sligo Rovers meeting Derry City, the two North West clubs clashing. All those games at 5 o'clock on Monday as well. Don't forget that, folks. To start with our feature game on Friday night, Barry, and like it's a 7:45 kickoff. We'll have Jonathan Higgins and Vinnie Perth on commentary duty up at Sullivan and Lamb Park. Barry, there's been a lot of noise off the pitch for Drogheda United. And obviously, before the break, Joanna Byrne, her removal as the co-chair at the club was announced. She's obviously not happy with that. I'm not sure how much more or what more she can do. I think she has said that there may be something further to come with this. But I suppose when you look at it, they are a private institution. It's a club that's owned by private owners, and they fund the club so they can make these decisions if they want to. It will, of course, upset a lot of the locals, and I think a lot of people around the league at other clubs would support Joanna in the position that she took. But then if you move that aside, I think Kevin Doherty now is going to want to have the supporters focused on the football as well, isn't he? Because it's been a kind of an up and down season for Drogheda United so far.
Yeah, you said, Stephen. I think it's been destabilising effect on the whole club. You've gone from the flare incident to this, to over the last couple of years, the European incident last year as well. It's all detracted from what's going on the pitch, and that started to take its toll on the results for Kevin and the team of late. And listen, they had a brilliant result up in the Brandywell, coming from 2-0 down to bring it back and get a draw up there. But Kevin will want to be talking about what's happening on the pitch at the moment and moving forward. And I think a club like Drogheda have to be linear and focused on one thing. And these last couple of years, they've been that. They've got through some really hard times and got into those European positions, and that's because of the strength of focus of the whole club. So they need to get back to that. They did it on Friday night, came back from 2-0 down, scored two, or the last game, I should say, came from 2-0 down, got a brilliant result up there. They've got to go and repeat that now at home against Bohemians, and we know the run Bows are on at the moment, only conceded 3 goals. But they're going to find it really tough to go and do that. We were on that game, obviously, Stephen, at the end of last season, the last game, and Bowes got right in their faces, stopped them doing things they wanted to do, didn't give away free kicks, set pieces, things that Drogheda usually go and score goals from. They didn't give any of that away, so they've got to find a way now of scoring goals on Friday night against a really tough Bohemian side.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing you would say, I suppose, Gareth, and you would have seen them in their most recent game against Derry City, from a Drogheda United perspective, like, you know, that game as well, I suppose, the end of last season, went down to 10 men, all down to the pressure that Bohemians were putting on them. But to finish that the last two games before the international window, to finish those two with a draw. It was in the space of 4 days as well, drawing 0-0 with Shamrock Rovers, and then that draw against Derry City 2-2, when they had looked like they were going to get beaten in that game. Derry City went 2-0 up. So I'm sure the confidence they take from that will be a factor this Friday night, but you could also maybe, I suppose, offset that with the fact that they did have the long break, and I'm sure Kevin Doherty would have liked a game, you know, within the space of another 4 days, perhaps, just to keep that momentum going.
Yeah, it was an interesting game on last Friday, or the Friday night past, the 2-2. I was massively disappointed with Drogheda, to be honest with you, in the first half. I'd watched the Monday night game against Shamrock Rovers, and I thought they were brilliant, really good. And I love watching Drogheda when they're on it. They're at their best, really well organised and highly aggressive. They're really hard to beat. And I thought they were very unlucky to draw that game against Shamrock Rovers. I thought they were the better team, created the better chances. They came to the Brandywell then, and I expected a really tough game. It didn't materialise. I know Kevin Doherty said afterwards that he thought they played well. They didn't play well, especially in the first half. I've never seen them as animated on the sideline. And again, with all the nonsense that's happening off the pitch with Joanna Byrne and the owners, it looked as if it was taking its toll on the players more so than Kevin. He was so vocal. It was incredible. Whether it be his defence, his midfielder, his goalkeeper. Derry were found very easy to play, and just very on Drogheda. Like, now, second half, completely different. They made the changes. They got super aggressive, really put Derry under pressure and scored two exceptional goals. Now, two goals that you would see maybe over a season, but it happened in the same night. They were brilliant. And Warren Davis, when he came on, was exceptional for 25 minutes. He was unplayable. Honest to God, he was really, really good. So I expect him to have got more training under his belt over the break and now to be back in the team. But again, if Drogheda produced the same performance they produced against Shamrock Rovers at home in the last match, Bows are in for a tough, tough match. But Kevin Doherty getting them back to their structured, aggressive best, they'll be a match for anyone.
Yeah, and I wonder as well, because there's obviously been some personnel changes in the team there. Barry, I feel Luke Heaney's a big miss. I know he wouldn't have been a regular starter, but I'm always baffled by the fact that he's playing on the right-hand side of the Waterford defence at the moment. But anyway, we might come to that later. I just wonder with Edwin Agbaje coming in from Sligo Rovers as well, because like he's obviously started, I think, practically every game this season. But I wonder, for a player of his age, 22, is there a bit of bedding in time needed for someone like him to play under Kevin Doherty, a manager like him?
There absolutely is. And you speak about experiencing that team. You've Keely at centre-half there. He'll guide him through it. Burnie and Quinn were the other centre-halves on the night up in Derry, and Kane there, left-back. They've gone from a really stable kind of back four, back five. You know what you're going to get every week. You know who's going to play. To now, you're getting players put in and out, and it's totally destabilised them. Probably only Dennison and Keely, Quinn and Kane are the only ones, the stalwarts that have been there week in, week out, even in front of them as well. O'Brien and Godden, Kavanagh coming in as well. It's all destabilising. You're losing your better players each kind of season. It's something they've had to deal with. Losing Darren Markey, who would have played in that holding midfield role before he's gone up to Derry. You're losing that solid base in and around your centre-halves as well. And they can see the goals because of it. You looked at them before. They would have always built on that base of keeping clean sheets with Luke Dennison in goal, who'd been excellent. They've gone away from that. If you look back to the last couple of games, the goals they conceded are really sloppy, especially that Darren Markey one up in the Brandywell. You wouldn't see that goal conceded over the last couple of seasons. They've got to get back to basics now.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Doyle, though, as well, you know, Gareth, I just feel a fellow like him, he goes on a bit of a run. Like, he scored, what's it, 3 goals so far this season, but there's been kind of like 2 match gaps in between each goal. You feel like maybe when he gets an understanding as well with his midfield and with his attacking assistance, shall we say, that if he can kind of hit a bit of form as well, that could really help them.
Yeah, 100%. The goal in the Brandywell, honestly, he took a touch on the edge of the box. Now, it was a bit of a heavy touch, but he just met it beautifully. The goalkeeper didn't even move. Barry will know this. Like, generally, you can kind of see it someone, and you can't. Barry used to do it all the time. The ball would hit the net, and then they would die. it rifled past. It rifled past, beats the keeper, and he had no chance. And you could see during the game as well, Doyle is one of those enigmas for defenders that he's always looks as if he's on the periphery of the game, but he always gets chances. It's incredible. It's a knack that he has. He's always in the right place at the right time, making a nuisance of himself. And he was really good in that match. In fact, him and Kane were the two best players by a country mile. Now, I did like, and we talked about it, Steve, at the beginning of the year, about where Drogheda might struggle. And we always kind of highlighted the middle of the park with Brennan getting so I was going to say so old, but getting on in years. O'Brien was excellent. He was really good. First time I saw him live, really good as an 8. Just kind of, he played like an 8 as well. Godden sat, and Kevin Doherty was on to Godden a lot about where he should be in positional wise. But O'Brien in front of him, the amount of work he got through was incredible. So Drogheda looking, and they looked much better in the second half. With those 4 or 5 players, I would say it's quite positive. I just think the office to face stuff, they need to just get it out of the way, put it to bed. I don't know what, if anything will happen at the match this week, will the fans will vote with their feet, or what will happen?
Wouldn't you?
I just hope that they don't, because it'll be destabilising the players and Kevin. It'll be a distraction they don't need.
Yeah, I do think, I agree with you. I'd say from Kevin's perspective, he's probably thinking, like, I'd say he's between a rock and a hard place, because I'm sure he's got a really good relationship with Joanna there as well. I'm sure, you know, there's some personal feeling. He probably can't speak, like, look, you know, who at the club can speak about it, because they're obviously having to, you know, mind the fact that they are employed by the club and can only say so much. But, you know, Joanna and her family have such a long history with the club, and the way this relationship has ended is just, it's just really, really sad. And someone who's given her life both to her community in respect of her politics and also to her club in all the work she's done there. It's just a really sad ending to all of this.
Steve-O, I don't think we've got come to the end of this. I don't see this going to bed. And this is, I'm speaking purely from a football point of view, how destabilising it will be for Kevin and for the team, because there's some of them playing really well, but there's some of them are obviously distracted by it, whether it's through Kevin or through the management team. So the longer this goes on, and I do see it kind of going on throughout the season, because it's such a pivotal decision by the owners, I just worry a little bit.
Okay. Bohemians, speaking about worries, look, I've seen quite a bit of Bo's, Barry, over the last few weeks. I would say there's a bit of a trend. Like, the last the last kind of match that Bowes went and looked, you know, from back to front, really convincing, I would say, is when they went to Sligo Rovers and had that 4-0 win. Colin Whelan got the hat-trick. And, like, they've obviously had some really good results since then. But when you look at the last couple of wins they achieved, like the last two matches are draws. They drew at Dundalk at home, drew away to Shelburne. Not a bad result either. But they beat Bohemians by a goal to nil, Waterford by a goal to nil. The goals in those two games were scored by centre-backs. The same against Dundalk. So there is a trend there of the forwards or attacking players not contributing goals. And it's all well and good having a good defence, Barry, but you need the players up front to be putting the ball into the back of the net as well. Do you think that might have been a concern for Alan Reynolds going into the break? And would you think he may have worked on that kind of thing over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I definitely think it would be. Listen, Colin Whelan's got four, I think, is it? And then you look back, I think Hickey's the second top scorer and two goals, your centre half. But I look at it the opposite way. I think if you look down through the years, like you look at that Shelburne team that won the league, it was all built on defence, 1-0 wins, going and doing that. How many years have you seen Shamrock Rovers doing it, starting to do it again this year? They've conceded three goals this year. So it gives you a great base to go and do something. And they're always making chances in games. That's the thing you look at as a player. And you look at the quality in around that team, the Dawson, the boys, Tierney, just quality everywhere. This goal is going to come from everywhere. And I think they can open up on teams. They've had so many chances to open up on teams, and they haven't gone and done it since the Sligo game, obviously. But I just thought the Dundalk game, it probably came, they're thinking, listen, right, we're going to hold out for our 1-0, we're going to get another one over the line, and then they just couldn't react once Dundalk scored, obviously too late in the game to go and do that, so they're not quite killing teams off, but they're so solid at the back, I just don't see any problem, and I think that the goals will come from, and again, that their back four and goalkeeper have been excellent.
Yeah, it's interesting what Barry touched on there about the midfielders, Gareth, and like I remember talking to you last season about Adam O'Reilly at Derry City and thinking, you know, this fella's such a good player. He just needs to add a couple of goals to his game. And he did go on a bit of a run towards the end of the season. You kind of feel the same with Dawson Devoy and Ross Tierney, you know, players of that quality maybe do need to be popping up with a couple of more goals here and there. Each player's only scored a goal so far this season. I know it is still early days, but is that the area of the field you're kind of looking at?
Yeah, it's funny too, because that would be the area of the field that you would have thought they're strongest, especially last year. With Parsons there as well, looking at goals, and now you've got Myers. You've got a load of them there, but none of them are sitting. And a manager told me this when I was out playing. I was early 20s, and I would have been a player who just would like to have passed. And he says, listen, if you want to stay in the team and you want to have 10, 15 goals every year, you need to be getting yourself into the box, and you need to be selfish in the fact that you're leaving your defensive duties. You've got to get into the box. How many times do a player now, do we see a midfielder going to the edge of the box and asking for the ball, even when it's out in the left-hand side? They're afraid to get actually into the box, into the six-yard box. The ball comes over, someone misheads it, and they tap it in. There seems to be a lack of those, not only at Bowes, but in the rest of the league. So the likes of Parsons, Vaughan, they've got a whole heap of them. Myers, Devoy, Tierney, Strauds now as well. They've all got to, at the beginning of the year, they've got to be setting themselves 10 goals, 8 to 10 goals. If they can have three or four of them on 8 to 10 goals, that will be enough to shoot them to the league title, I would imagine, along with Douglas Taylor and Whelan getting in on goals as well. Then, and Alan Reynolds will be really happy with this, the centre-half scoring goals. I've said this is a problem throughout the league. Gone are the days of Colin Hawkins getting 12 goals, or I think he even got more in a season from centre-half. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't happen anymore. So Alan Reynolds will be delighted with the defensive contribution. He just needs those players behind the front man. And Devoy's playing too deep, so I kind of move him aside. When he's playing aside Flores, I expect him to get goals. But he plays very deep, so you wouldn't be expecting him to get as many goals. But the others, the four players in front of him, they've got to be looking at 8 to 10 goals each. And they've only got one, maybe none so far this season. That means they're behind the ratio.
As a goalkeeper, Barry, like, you know, when you think about goal-scoring midfielders, what set the best midfielders apart when it came to scoring goals? When you're from a goalkeeper's perspective, who are the best ones? How did they, I suppose, maybe trick defences, trick goalkeepers?
I think we haven't seen, as Gareth alluded to, I haven't seen one since Richie Towell, I think. Somebody that arrived late into the box, balls were put back from knowing that he was going to, it's kind of that Frank Lampard little role on the edge of the box. As a goalkeeper, you're getting set, obviously, for a pullback, and then you've got a body in front of you, so you just can't see anything coming on, but it's all about that timing. And we haven't seen that sort of marauding midfielder with the goals tally that Richie got that season and subsequent seasons. He was just there. Obviously, there's penalties as well, but he always timed it so well, got on the end of things, deflected off people and went into the back of the net. But there isn't that type of goal scoring midfielder in the league at the moment. And when you look at the league overall, the top scorers are usually about 12 to 14 goals. So in terms of huge goals output, it's not there in the league. It's spread around the team. And you look all over, the centre-half score a lot of goals in this league. Set pieces are becoming a much bigger thing. Bowes look so much more potent at set pieces now with Hickey involved in them. So I think it's the way the game's gone here, it's becoming a little bit like England, where the goals are getting spread around. They do need somebody to chip in with more goals, though, because if you look at, you take Holly Whelan out of that team, you just don't see where consistent goals are going to come from.
Yeah,
and I love the fact about that. If you look through the players, we had Kieran Martin at Derry, wouldn't have got involved at all really in the build-up play, but you guarantee if a ball came in from the left or right, winger or fullback, he was always in the penalty spot, no matter what. If you look, and I'd love to look at this, and hopefully there's a few data geeks listening in. If you look at the likes of Jamestown Analytics that Shell's used, so the data analytics companies in the world, you could probably figure out and analyze a centre midfielder that actually gets into the box. So how many times they've entered the opposition box. And I would say it's not nowhere near what it used to be for midfielders, whether that's wingers or centre midfielders. They're all happy to just go to the edge, have a few shots, maybe put in a cross, try a 1-2, but actually getting into the box and getting tap-ins, we very rarely see it.
Yeah. I just wonder as well, sometimes with Bohemians, you find they're because their play is so intricate, it's a bit like the classic Arsene Wenger Arsenal, when they almost had to run the ball into the net, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of players maybe kind of offering themselves a bit further out from goal, or just that... I'm kind of mashing this up with Carlo Ancelotti as well. I remember him speaking to Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and he felt the problem with him, and you get this, Barry, as a goalkeeper, was that he was taking a touch before he'd have a shot, where he's saying you've got to be instinctive, you've got to hit it with your first touch because the goalkeeper's not expecting it. The goalkeeper wants you to have a touch so he can get himself set then.
Yeah.
And you know, the Bowes players sometimes maybe do kind of, they're trying to dribble into the box, all these little 1-2s on the edge of the area instead of just having a pop sometimes and trying to catch the keeper off guard.
Do you know what, Stephen? There's a great clip of Harry Kane during the week, and he scores a goal in training. Tuchel's talking about it.
I've seen that one, yeah. Finished.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And Harry Kane's talking about it. He takes a touch and hits it straight away. It's almost as if it's part of the first touch that he hits it straight away. The goalkeeper's moving forward, trying to close the angle, gets caught every time. It looks scrappy, it looks terrible, but it's so effective. He scores goals like that, and I think Stephen Kenny's doing the same with Keane Levy. He's talked to him about how he needs to add goals from midfield. He started to do that now for Pats, coming from deep, getting onto it, getting shots off. They need somebody just on the edge of that box where if the likes of Collie Whelan, Douglas James Taylor can push the centre-half backs, that opens up that space for somebody to go and meet it and score goals from there.
Yeah, Keane Levy's a good shout, actually, yeah. And I suppose that's maybe Stephen Kenny trying to turn Keane Levy into the next Richie Tell. So that's the Bowes Drogheda game. As I mentioned, it's going to be live on Off the Ball this Friday night. You can join the lads with the preview from 7 o'clock. Jonathan Higgins and Vinnie Perth. And it will be Owen Sheehan hosting the show on Friday evening. Just to check on Bohemians, obviously have two fixtures this weekend like everybody else. So they'll be playing Drogheda on Friday night, and then on Monday, Bohemians will be hosting Waterford. Just quickly, Gareth, what would be a good weekend for Bowes? How many points from that six?
Away to Drogheda is going to be a tough game, very tough game. That's going to probably be separated by a goal either way. Just the way Waterford are right now, I think you'd be looking to beat them at home on the Monday night. So if they took four out of a possible six, I don't think Rennie would be too disappointed.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Barry, looking at Drogheda United, they're home to Bohemians and then away to Galway United. What's a good points tally for Kevin Doherty's men?
I think similar. I think you've got to be looking at 4 points at least for a draw from those two games. The home games are going to be huge. Obviously, you've got a Bohemians team coming up full of confidence. If you can get out of there with the results, brilliant. Then you go to Monday night and try and get the results. It's, I think, like going to go or like they're at home to go. I think is it on Monday?
Yeah, let me double check that again.
Yeah.
Two home games, you've got to be looking at 4 points out of that at least to kind of move yourself up the table and start looking upwards again.
Yeah, Drogheda United are in seventh position on 9 points and six off the top three. Bohemians starting top of the table, but that lead they had at the top has been closed to just 1 point. The team behind them, St Patrick's Athletic, on 17 points. And this weekend, St Pat's will be at home to Sligo Rovers and then they go away to Dundalk. So, two tricky enough matches. I suppose they'd be feeling happy enough about being at home against Sligo Rovers, but a trip to Dundalk as well, not exactly ideal. So St Pat's against Sligo Rovers, I suppose when you look at Pat's the last few weeks, it's been pretty sensational from them, Barry, and closing out the last phase of the top flight with that 2-0 win away to Waterford. Waterford really in a lot of trouble. So, you know, a win maybe a lot of Pats fans might have expected going down there. But bouncing back from that the home draw against Derry City, I'm sure Stephen Kenny would be pretty happy going into the game against Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, that's why I don't think you've any fear to have anything to fear by with Bohemians, because you look at Pats last season and all they were missing was a goal scorer this year. You know, they did 18 clean sheets last year, 50% of the games, and now they've got goal scorers. Edmondson scoring goals, Matos back in the team, got more minutes in the Leicester Senior Cup on Saturday. And they've got a dependable right back who's chipping in with assists in James Brown now. And that's a massive difference. You don't usually associate right wing backs with it, but having such a difference on your team. But the difference he's made since coming into that team, as I said, four assists. It's allowed Ramal Palmer to move a little bit further forward ahead of Nugent and Bagley. And you look at Edmondson in that first game against Shamrock Rovers, you're thinking, God, he's got himself into great positions and not hit the target. He had two great chances and now he's finding the back of the net, and they just look like they've got goals all over. They've got a consistent enough 11 with the potential to change things as well coming off the bench. You've got Forrester who can't get into the team. Keane Needy wasn't in it the day or the game before they went on a break. You've got real quality everywhere. So, yeah, as I said as well about the Keane Needy thing, he's just showing signs of starting to show some end product to the work rate as well. So there's quality coming off the bench that can change things. And they look like they're starting to get that little bit of a run that Stephen Staun has saw in the last 9 games of his opening year at Pats.
Yeah, and look, I know Joe Anang last year, a lot of people have had their fears about him sometimes because he was liable to drop a clanger or two, but you know, his quality as a goalkeeper was never, I don't think, in any, up for debate at all. And he's been absolutely brilliant this season. I know Ghana have had a change of manager, so maybe his place as the third choice keeper in their squad going to the World Cup may not be exactly assured. I'd still feel he'll have a very good chance of going, as he has been the third choice for a long time now. He'd be a big loss when they go, though, Barry. But I suppose that's just testament to how good he's been this season.
Yeah, he's been excellent. I think he's been good for a couple of seasons. The league you're playing in and the standard that you're playing in this league, you're going to make mistakes. If you're not, you're going to a higher league, and that's just where this league is at the moment. And he's come in and been absolutely phenomenal. You talk about his clean sheet record last season. It was incredible. All they were missing was the goals. So to have that at the back, now Sean Horace back in beside Joe Redmond, Gravosti as well. They've got really good centre-halves, three centre-halves. And you got McLennan on the left and now James Brown on the right. It's a solid back five and a really good goalkeeper. So no reason why they shouldn't move right up the table and be really involved in the business end.
Yeah, absolutely. Barry, talking about the defence there, Gareth, quite rightly, Redmond and Horace seem to be striking up a pretty good partnership there, and it's something Sligo Rovers might struggle to break down, you'd feel, this Friday night.
Yeah, 100%. And I like about both of them as well. We talked about it earlier, about scoring goals. I mean, Horace should have scored twice against Derry when they drew that match in Richmond Park. He got the two best chances of the game. He was really good on both boxes, and he's quick as well. But good combination. I mean, Redmond, to me, has always been a just a stalwart. Really, really good, consistent. a captain for the club. But with Hoare beside him, with that little bit of pace and that little bit of experience, it's actually brought Redmond on even more. And then when you talk about Luke Turner on the left of that, he was exceptional bringing the ball out of the back against Derry. He was brilliant. And then he goes and gets two goals, although he stole one on against Waterford. So we talked about chipping in for goals. He gets two. They're looking good at the back. And as Barry says, what they've got up front. I have to say, a player that is, and I said this when it happened, when Nugent was part of that transfer with from Shamrock Rovers, I said he was the better, and Pats did the better deal of the two.
Yeah, I remember it.
I think his selflessness of going and getting the ball and just giving it to people and like not taking too much time on the ball and not getting caught on making the right decision, he's an unsung hero. And I guarantee if you speak to Redmond, Hoare, Turner, they would say the same thing. He's athletic. He's very good at reading the game, and he does the simple thing when he needs to. And he always will go unnoticed, but he's so vital to what they have because, all right, it's all right, them boys keeping it out, but when they want it back, they've got to have someone that come to give it the Levy, Mata, Palmer, Edmondson, all these players.
Yeah, he beefs up that midfield, doesn't he, Gareth? Because there's a couple of kind of slight midfielders there, maybe mightn't have that kind of strength. He kind of gives them that, I think, in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah, and he loves a tackle as well. He loves the physical side of it. And he's not overly big, like big size-wise, height or size-wise, but he just loves the tackle. And he loves getting his body in the right position. And again, that's why Stephen Bradley played him so much away from home in Europe when he had him at Shamrock Rovers. He's that type of player, reliable, athletic, and he makes good decisions. So we're going to see the best of him this year. But again, when you get Forrester back, when you get Lennon back as well, great options for Stephen.
Yeah,
he's a bit of Jamie Lennon and Keane Levy mixed into one, isn't he? He's got the passing range of Jamie, but he's got the legs of Keane Levy, so he's a bit of both in there. And as Gareth said, he played every game away from home in Europe and shore things up. But as you said, I think that was a great signing for him.
Mm. We've also got the really unusual situation of Max Mata going to St. Patrick's Athletic to get game time to earn himself a place in the New Zealand World Cup squad. And now he can't get a star for St. Pat's because the other signing, Goodmanson, has been so bloody good. Make sense. When did we ever think we'd see this in the League of Ireland?
Hey, never mind that. Aidan Keane is there as well. Yeah. I know he's playing a wee bit deeper, but what a threesome there you have for one position. And we've seen him play two up front as well. I mean, Edmondson was on an unknown, so we didn't know how good he was going to be. But having watched him live recently, he can shift. If any player is perfectly put together for the League of Ireland, it's him. Loves the physical side of it. Loves the athleticism side of it. Will put defenders under pressure. And as we've seen, can finish a goal or two. So, I mean, Stephen's got some headache picking between them three.
Javi reminds me of Gareth, Stephen O'Flynn.
Yeah, 100%.
Everything about him, the physicality, the finish. Got everything about him.
Yeah.
Flanner just didn't have the pace. He was deceivingly slow.
Or the hair.
I've got Iceland on the bloody brain after last week, calling Goodmanson rather than Edmondson. Apologies for that. That's what you get when hanging around a man from Iceland for the last kind of 7 days. Sligo Rovers on the other side of that one, Gareth. They're on the run now of three defeats in a row. It looked like it might be turning for them when they got that 2-1 win at home to Drogheda United. It was a good performance, but they follow that up now with defeat at home to Shamrock Rovers, defeat away to Dundalk, which wasn't ideal. That's kind of the team they need to be beating. And then being beaten at home against Shelburne. And you kind of felt Shelburne will come to them shortly, but that was a game where you felt Sligo Rovers need to take advantage of a Shelburne team with a pretty makeshift defence at that time. So it's not going well for Sligo Rovers. Are we still confident though in John Russell, as we usually should be, because he does seem to turn things around in the summertime.
Yeah, no, listen, you're going to get this with Sligo. You know that they're going to go through bad runs. I mean, I think the Drogheda one came at a good time for them, where Drogheda were in complete turmoil. But it doesn't look good. -9. They just don't seem to have the right balance right now. I mean, if you look at their team in a whole and you look at their starting 11, it doesn't look that bad, but they seem to have They seem to be not gelling right now. They're not creating a load of chances. They're not keeping a load of clean sheets. They're just in between and everything. But I mean, John Russell has been here, done that, worn the t-shirt. He will keep playing the way he likes to play. He will keep giving them confidence. The only problem is they're coming up against Pats away on Friday night, and then they're home to Derry on Monday. Pat's going so well. We just talked about them there. I mean, I don't see them getting a while out of that. And then a Monday's night game against Derry, it really becomes a massive game for both clubs. And it's obviously the Premier Division Northwest Derby. So big weekend for Sligo.
Yeah. What have you made of the bit of red so far, Barry?
I have to feel sorry for John. Every season his best players get taken from him, and he's got to try and rebuild it, and they start slow, and it's a rinse and repeat job. And I think they obviously come good in the summertime because clubs don't see them as a threat for those European positions. I think, well, right, we're sending down a couple of players to get game time. John does a great job with them, turns them around, gives them minutes on the pitch, gets a lot out of them, and then loses them back to their parent club or they're sold on, and he's got to do the same year in, year out. So that's where Sligo are at the moment. Fan-owned club that just don't have the money to compete at the other end. So it's all about keeping them in the league, and John usually finds a way around that kind of midpoint of the season. But you just got to wonder, at what point does he think, I've had enough of this. I've done so well at this club that if an opening comes at another club, I really want to test myself with resources and quality players to see how high I can go. And that's where Sligo will find himself in a real pickle, because he knows that club inside out and gets the best out of players. So it's a catch-22 for them at the moment.
Yeah, it is. Joseph, and this never really kind of dawned on me before, but there was a Sligo Rovers supporter on LOI Late Night a couple of weeks ago after one of those games, and making the point that it's really because, obviously, the whole thing, I'll take your point on the players during the summertime, which is a good one as well. But something I hadn't considered was the pitch, because the pitch is pretty poor. And, you know, Stephen Bradley has been vocal in criticising it. And even John Russell, I think, made a point about it early on in the season. But it has got its issues, and that the pitch does get better then we come into springtime, into the summertime, and that actually gives to Sligo Rovers in being able to play the kind of football in a better way that John Russell wants them to play.
Yeah, I would agree. Listen, there's no doubt about it. They're a football side, and that's the way John Russell plays, and that's the way he wants to play. Does he have another way of playing? Of course, but to play to their strengths. You look at Mikus and Nolan especially. I mean, I think they're struggling in centre forward. Kane Kavanagh just hasn't hit the ground running, scored enough goals, and he hasn't got going. Traore hasn't really worked out the loan move. So I think they've always had a threat, Sligo, whether that be out wide with Elding, whether it be through the middle with Max Mata and people like that. I just don't see the goal threat. So if you're an opposition manager or an opposition analysis and you're looking at going, right, who are we trying to stop or where are we seeing the threat from? I mean, McHugh, Quirk and McManus, they're not renowned as a three flat three in midfield. They're not renowned for scoring goals. So you're looking at Mikkelsen and Nolan. Mikkelsen obviously has done all right recently. He's hit the crossbar a few times in recent matches. He's looking lively, but he's only getting into the way they're playing. And then you're looking at Alex Nolan from Cork, I think he was at last year. So I think that's the biggest problem. And I agree with you in the pitch. They'll enjoy playing in Richmond now on Friday night because the pitch is absolutely immaculate. So, and this is what wouldn't surprise me if they went there, played incredible football, and maybe came away with a 2-1-1 or a 3-2-1 and scored loads of goals. And the manager just says, let's go play. Mm-hmm. But at home form, it's vital. So they need to try and work on the pitch. Obviously, the weather's getting better, and then get some wins at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, LOI Late Night will be on again this Friday night after all of the action from around 10 o'clock on X. So do jump on. I know, Barry, you're sometimes co-host. And if not, you're always tuned in and listening to the lads. So if you are a League of Ireland supporter and you want to join in with the chat or just have a listen, do check that out after Friday night's game at 10 o'clock on the X platform. So looking at the two clubs then, Barry, we'll go with you. St. Patrick's Athletic then home to Sligo Rovers, and then they're away to Dundalk. That's a really tricky fixture on the Monday. How many points are you expecting from the Saints this weekend, or what do you think they'd be happy with?
I think the way it's fallen for them, it's fallen the right way around. I think if you had Dundalk first and then you're playing Sligo, you're thinking 4 points is a good return. But for Stephen, I think looking at this, I think he'll fancy 6 points out of this and keep that rolling. I think you're going to a Dundalk side at home on a Monday who don't have that kind of in-depth to the squad that can churn out a Friday, Monday game. So you're thinking if we can get over the Sligo game, get a win at home, we can go up to Oriel Park and get a win. So I think he's looking at 6 points from this.
Yeah, I think it's a good shout. Kieran Kilduff actually said that they couldn't fill the bench at Dalymount, and he's hoping to get some numbers back before this weekend's fixture. So we've yet to see all the team news coming in from around the club. So that will be interesting to see how Dundalk shape up going into that game on Monday and their other match on Friday, which we'll be coming to shortly. Gareth, Sligo Rovers home or away to St Pat's and then home to Derry City. What do you think they'd be happy with points-wise?
Yeah, I mean, they're an unknown. I mean, I can't see them getting too much on Friday night. And they seem to do well. If you look over the last 4 or 5 years, they've always done well against Derry City at home. Maybe not in recent games, but that'll be a tough one. I think they'll be aiming for more points on Monday than they will Friday, put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I can think, if they can get 2 points across those two matches, I think they'd be very happy indeed with that. Friday night as well sees Shelburne hosting Dundalk. I think that's a really, really intriguing fixture. The work Joey O'Brien has done, though, lads, we said it before last year when he went in the summer after Damien Duff left Barry, to pick up and to, you know, arguably make that team better, drive them into Europe, their first ever group stage campaign in UEFA competition. And that was all fantastic. And then the start of the season, he's got a couple of new signings in, a star man coming down from Cliftonville, Oran Casey, playing alongside Paddy Barrett. The two lads get injured at the same time. And despite having those two players out, and particularly Barrett, because we've seen Shelburne before struggle without Barrett, but to do without those players, now we could see Barrett coming back this weekend. I think that's what Joey O'Brien was hoping for. But to lose those players, and you look over the last four matches, they've had a draw at home to Shamrock Rovers, a win away to Derry City, a draw at home to Bohemians, and a win away to Sligo Rovers. Incredible what Joey O'Brien is doing, Barry.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think for me, they're the dark horses, the ones that could really put a string of results together and get themselves right back up there. And again, we hark back to that title winning season. It was all about clean sheets and the consistent back four they had. A really good goalkeeper in Conor Kearns. Paddy Barrett was nearly involved in every game. And you'd like to think they've turned a bit of a corner too in terms of clean sheets. Picked up two in the last two games. Massive win out in Sligo, really tough place to go. And obviously, they've scored in every game by the Bowes game as well, so they've got goals coming from everywhere, and I think it's a huge weekend for them. They go to Rovers then on Monday night, and you'd feel a win on Friday is essential for them to stay with that kind of pack, and then it gives you not a free hit at Rovers, but takes a little bit of the pressure off in terms of those European places and competing for the title as well. And they've just integrated players really well. Woods are scoring goals. Lundgren looks really good, keeping Jarvis out of the team, and Martin has done well as that number nine, kind of knocking things down for Woods. We saw a lot of that over in Sligo on the last game, and they just look like they've got goals in them, starting to keep clean sheets, so it's looking fairly good for them at the moment.
Yeah, I didn't see the best of Shells from an attacking point of view in the match against Bohemians, that 0-0 draw. You would have seen them up away to Derry City, Gareth, back on the 13th of March, it was. Lundgren has been mentioned there by Barry, a player whose name has been coming up more and more over the last couple of weeks. As Barry rightfully says, you're keeping Will Jarvis out of the team. He must be good. What have you made of him?
Yeah, it was unknown. The first time I saw him live, I've seen clips of him in previous matches, but a very good technical player. He played on the right, but he doesn't look like a natural winger. He doesn't look like somebody who's going to go outside and whip balls on, but he looks very dangerous, kind of that inverted winger where he plays almost as a second 10, and he looks really good technically. And I think this is the type of recruitment that we're going to see Shells make, just maybe one every season with Jamestown Analytics. He I tell you what as well, see for the position that he's looking to get into, you've got the likes of Coot, you've got Daniel Kelly, who has been exceptional and seems to be a real fan, a Joey O'Brien player. He's playing really well, played in the Brandywell, played again last week against Sligo, and of course scored the goal. He's been really good. So they've got loads of competition. I always say that the best thing a manager can do, and we've seen it at Rovers, is create internal competition. Once you've got internal competition, man management then becomes probably your most skill. That's what you have to do. You just have to manage these players. If you look at the bench the other night, Lonergan was on the bench, Boyd, Gannon, Lunny, who's been exceptional, Gaffney, Jarvis, Ellis Chapman. I mean, I'm sure if you spoke to all those players, they want to be playing week in, week out. So I talked about Stephen Bradley having a championship winning team. Keeping the players happy is his greatest skill, if you ask me. Joey O'Brien is now going to have to earn his stripes and keep all these people happy. But Lonergan's just another quality player that they have in that attacking side of the pitch.
I'm trying to remember, Barry, would you have played alongside Sean Gannon back in...
No, he's never crossed paths.
He's 34 years of age. I feel like this season he's having a bit of an Indian summer. Like, he just looks... There's something about... He looks a lot more confident in himself or something. I just felt maybe the last season at the start, that first part of the season, maybe he just didn't look himself under duff. And I don't know what Joey O'Brien's done. Is there a bit of man management going on there, or is there something to do with his physical fitness? I don't know. But, like, he's played, 416 minutes, which is the second most after Ledwich of any of the defenders at the club, which says a lot for a 34-year-old. Like, he's looking really, really good.
Yeah, I think Joey's managed him really well. I think he was taken out of that team up in Sligo the week before the break as well, and Ledwich and Norris were the fullbacks that night. And you look at the amount of times he's had to fill in at centre-half as well. It's way too much for somebody who's predominantly a right-back, but he'll do a job wherever you want it. But again, even looking at the back forward, you know, Ledwich, Bone, Rossi and Norris up in Sligo, and they get a result. And the mixed match nature of the way Sligo or Shelves have been over the last couple of seasons has taken away from the results. They haven't been able to keep clean sheets, but slowly starting to get real leaders back into that team. And you just look at the top end of the pitch, the top five, it's as good as any, if not better than most in the league. So once they get that back four sorted, I think they'll be right there or thereabouts.
Yeah, definitely. I'd imagine as a manager, and having gone to Daly Mount Park and taken a point, Gareth, I'd say Kieran Kilduff, and I'm hopefully for his sake, he'll have more players that he'll be able to bring into the side, bring back from injury. I'd say he's really, really, he's going to be looking forward to this game. This is going to be a real test for him to go up against one of the league's best managers in Joey O'Brien and try and out-tactic him this coming Friday night at Tolka Park.
Absolutely. And Kilduff came out and said that he was disappointed he not to take all 3 points out of Daly Mount. And Alan Reynolds is the same. They were the better team. Listen, up in the Brandywell, they were the better team. I was there watching it. They should have taken all 3 points bar a last-minute penalty. We saw them scrape a draw away to Shamrock Rovers. So, listen, they'll be looking forward to it. The other thing is they've got players playing well. Aruby's playing really well.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got Kenny's scoring for the Northern Irish under 21s as well, so he's obviously playing with confidence as well. We went through the midfield at the top of the show, so they're playing with real aggression and players with confidence, and I actually like watching them play. I mean, we would hear all the time about the way Galway play, about the way Dundalk play, about the way sometimes Drogheda play. I actually really enjoy when they're just really good at what they do. And that's what you get with Dundalk. They're hyper-aggressive, and then they've got players that can play in the top end of the pitch as well. But they do not let themselves down when it comes to that competitive age. And the teams that they've come up against just haven't been able to match that, believe it or not. Now, the question is, coming from the First Division, fitness-wise, towards the end of the season with squad depth, but also doing Monday, Friday, that's where it's going to be stretched. And we saw that before the break. But the break came at a good time for them. I expect him to be hopefully back refreshed and ready to go Friday, Monday, Friday again.
Yeah, we kind of forget about Dundalk as well, Barry. They've got a 17-time capped international for Ireland playing there, Daryl Horgan. Yeah. Like, his commitment to the club to go down to the first division with them, you know, I'm sure he could have easily gone to a different club in the Premier Division and not gone down with Dundalk. But to go down with them just goes to show you his passion and his attachment to the club at Oriel Park. But like 17 caps for Ireland, his career has been incredible. Everywhere he's gone, he's had an impact, like Preston, Hibernian. And he's doing some brilliant stuff as well for Dundalk. And maybe we're not talking about him enough.
No, I don't think we are. And that's a huge gamble to go and do that, go down to the first division, because that could be the end of your career. You don't get promoted straight away there, and suddenly you find yourself in mid-table in the first division and you've got no suitors looking for you, thinking you're not ready for it anymore. And listen, that's probably down to his relationship with Kieran Kilduff as well, that he managed to talk him into going back down there and fighting to get them back up. But as we said earlier, I think they all have a point to prove. You look at the signings, it reminds me so much of that kind of Stephen Kenny era at the mid, kind of 2010s, where it was a team of misfits, you know, Buckley, Cornwall, Kearns, Tariq and J.R. Wilson coming in, Mullen, people with a point to prove to come in and do something. And you add to that on Kenny Tehan coming in as well as being excellent, and young Vinnie Leonard at the back. It's a great mix of youth experience and wanting to go and prove yourself. And you look like, I think they need to go and get a goalkeeper now with the Conor Kern situation. I know they tried to sign Leon Strider from the American League, but I don't think he's got the work visa. So yeah, I think Kilduff has said to Endemann, oh, the jersey's there for you, but it could be that old chestnut where the jersey's there. Well, they're flicking through the Rolodex of goalkeepers in the background, because I think they're going to need to go and sign some experience there in that position with the long-term injury to Conor Kearns.
Bit of spice as well. The Wilson brothers going back to Shelburne as well. Jeez, there's an awful lot going for this match, Gareth. Looking forward to it. Do you think Dundalk could get something out of this one?
Well, I'll tell you what, if Shells are going to get something out, they're going to work for it. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. And even go back to what you said about Daryl Horgan, like, obviously his age and his reputation precedes him. You want to see the work rate that Kilduff demands out of him. Mm. It's just, he is not get away with anything. And so it doesn't matter. So it's accountability for not only Kilduff to the players, but the players to each other. That's really apparent when you watch him playing. So it's going to be a tough match for Shells. I mean, that's one of the tougher matches for the top three or four teams this weekend.
Yeah, certainly is. And you might see Bucco putting in one of those long raking diagonal passes in on top of the Shells defence again this Friday night. It's going to be a fascinating clash. So that's Shelburne taking on Dundalk this Friday night. So Shells home to Dundalk, and then it's away to Shamrock Rovers, isn't it, Barry? How do you think, what would you think Joey O'Brien will be targeting points-wise? Look, I'm sure he wants 6 points in the two games, but what's realistic, do you think, from those two matches?
Yeah, I think for them, I think he'd be happy enough with four. As I said, with that Friday night game, you want to go and win your home game, stay in contact with that top group, and then go to Shamrock Rovers with a kind of pep in your step, going to try and win. They've been excellent there the last couple of times they've gone to Talis Stadium, but I think that he'd be happy enough coming out of there with a draw and keep that kind of distance between everyone and that top five. So 4 points for me.
Yeah, and then we mentioned Dundalk's home match against St. Pat's on Monday. Gareth there away to Shells then on Friday. So a reasonable target for them. What would you be looking at?
Tough weekend. I think if they got two, I think they're fairly happy. 2-3. If they got two draws or a one and a loss, I think Kilduff will be happy. But again, they're that type of team that they could go and cause both teams real problems and almost come back away four.
They got six the last Friday and Monday, so like if they get six, two Friday Mondays in a row, like that'd be an almost miraculous achievement for a newly promoted side. Listen, Gareth, we put it off long enough. Galway United hosting Derry City. Are you making the trip down to the County of the Tribes?
No, not the Easter weekend. Family stuff, unfortunately, Steve-O, so yeah. LOA TV for me.
Completely understandable. And then it's away to Sligo Rovers. So it's a tough weekend travel-wise for Derry City supporters, but although at least they're over on the west side of the country anyway. The fallout from Drogheda United. 2-0 up to draw that game 2-2. And look, I'm going to be honest here, Gareth, there was a kind of a glaring... There was one player standing out, the two goals that they conceded. And I think we know who I'm talking about, James McLean. I'm just like, something's got to give here. You know, you either play James McLean on the left side of the pitch, or do they have a change? Like, I don't know what's going on here. Tiernan Lynch, there does seem to be some whispers around that he's under pressure going into this weekend. I don't know. What can you tell us? What's going on up at the Roy McBride Brandywell?
The 2-2 draw wasn't ideal. I thought they were comfortable in the first half. I think the problem, and again, James played left of a three for anybody that didn't see the game. So there are two injuries. Slevin and Patrick McLean were injured. So James slotted in the left of a three and played fine for an hour. But I would kind of stick up for James. He did. He was running back, and Warren Davis came on and tortured that left-hand side. He tortured Fleming and he tortured James. He was fresh. He was direct. He was athletic. James was going back and he fell over. And then obviously Warren Davis smashes it under the top corner. What I will say is James is at a certain age. The three games in a week was far too much. You could see his body starting to tire. I mean, there was 22-year-olds that were starting to tire after three games. So James was tired. You could see when he was trying to move his feet, going back away, fell over, and it cost him the game. If he doesn't score, then you probably wouldn't really notice it. But the bigger problem is now is the amount of injuries that Derry have. Obviously, they're going to be out of the Brandywell, so they're away now for three away games. Then they've got the Gaelic ground to go to. But do you play James in the centre of midfield? Do you play him left over three at the back? Or do you play him left wing back? It's pretty evident the manager wants to keep him in the centre of the pitch. So I don't think that changes. To me, it's James isn't the problem. It's getting a functional team that's able to put 90 minutes together. And it just doesn't seem to be gelling at all. I thought there were signs against Pats. I thought they were really good. Defensively solid. Draw was a fair result, created a couple half chances. I thought that was the foundation to go now and build it and put a few results together. But the second half against Drogheda was back to the same old Derry that we've been seen all season. No intensity, no tempo, and what looked like no structure.
Well, like I'm gonna, I suppose, play devil's advocate here, Barry, because like Derry City go 2-0 up against a Drogheda United team who aren't exactly having the best of seasons themselves. I know this might be a very simplistic way to look at it, but like Drogheda United went into that game having not won since the 13th of February. They were on a 1-2-3-4-5 match winless run. They lost three of those five. Like, if you're 2-0 up against a side with that record going into that game, Barry, would you feel they should be seeing it out?
100% they should have seen it out. Listen, the goals were out of this world, as Gareth described. There were two phenomenal strikes, but they should have never been in those positions. And it's an interesting one. Like, he obviously feels he needs to play James in the team at some point, or like in that position. I just feel, should he not play as a left wing back instead of Fleming? I don't think Fleming's been good this season. I think he spoke about it himself. He's found himself out of form. So James could slot in at that left-wing back position with Michael Duffy ahead of him, and he's probably not going to have the overlapping runs he used to have, but he can be effective in that position. It just looks like he's never played in that role before. He's getting into positions and areas he shouldn't be getting into, backing onto things instead of defenders behind him coming on to meet them instead. That's what you'd be looking for, and it just looks like there's a lack of communication there, and obviously his confidence is down at the moment. But I just think as a whole, I think there's probably a couple of managers who would have switched their phone off during this break and hope it didn't ring in that dreaded international window. But sometimes the owners give you that time to get out in the training pitch, and then if the results don't come, it can have the same effects as that. But I think if you take Michael Duffy out of that team and single-handedly he saved him from probably seeing the door already. Five goals and nobody else is chipping in from anywhere else, and I just think for a team of that quality who looks to want to go and really challenge this year, they've won clean sheet. And I know you can say that you've Brian Maher out of the team, but you let a couple of players go from that defensive setup that they could have really done with this season. Todd as well, he's been really good since he's gone down to Bowes, and you're missing him at centre half. Just a couple of poor decisions have them where they are at the moment, and I just don't know. As Gareth was saying, it's about getting your best players into the team. It's more of a team thing they need to fix, but Clark isn't doing nothing for them. He doesn't seem to know where to play him. He was kind of playing in that number 9 false 9 role for Bowes, and that's where he was most effective. Can't get a tune out of him at the moment up in the Brandywell. And I think Derry County Aim and DC Park, that's a place where a lot of questions are asked of you. And then they're away to Sligo again then on the Monday. They're two really tough places and two tough away fixtures. And I think if you don't get away with positive results, I think that the writing could be on the wall there.
Yeah, that's interesting, Gareth. Actually, the James Clark point that Barry makes as well is interesting because, God, he looked so good last season. And he even started off brightly with Derry City, but it just seems as the weeks have gone by, it's all like his confidence is being chipped away at because he's not being given that. I don't know if he'd say maybe he's not given the freedom that he might have had at Bohemians last season to mill around the box in the way that he did. And just the team isn't playing to his strengths. But then you would say, like, there's so many other players that they need to play to that player's strengths that it's just all very confusing, as we've spoken about before.
Yeah. And I think that the players are starting to feel that now as well, confused. I mean, we've been in dressing rooms that it's really competitive and there's a lot of good players. But on a Friday, when you go through that week of 11v11 or training and on five-a-sides, you kind of know who's on form and who's playing well. And James Clark looked to be playing well at the start of the season. Then he was just dropped. He was taken off against Waterford, himself and Josh Thomas, when Derry needed goals. Now, they eventually got those goals, but I just couldn't see the logic behind it. Then it happened again. Then he was dropped. So I'm sure he's struggling for confidence. But again, it's as a player, if a manager puts out a team and you can look at it and go, yeah, everyone there should be playing and they're all playing in the right positions. Mm. As a player, you can accept that. But there seems to be like some strange decisions being made on players and it's affecting then players' confidence and players' trust. So I don't know how James Clark gets back and doing that. He didn't play. Mickey Duffy and Markey played against Drogheda. Markey obviously scored, played okay. But where does he get into that? Where does he get into that 10? Because that's where he's best at. He was played as a false nine against Drogheda. I don't think that's his best position. I think he's better as a 10.
Yeah. They go to Galway, Gareth, as we've said, like, and Barry rightly says that's a really tough place for them to be going on Friday night. They have had a decent, record there of late. What is it, looking over the last three trips, there's been a win for Derry, a draw and a win for Galway. So not too bad. But I'd imagine this is the kind of team John Caulfield is probably looking at kind of going, you know, he's probably relishing this opportunity to get stuck into this Derry City team, Gareth.
Yeah, 100%. It's the last place you want to be going. You know exactly what you're going to get. And physically, it's a tough, tough place. If you remember last year's win, it was Adam O'Reilly kind of broke away and got a fairly last-minute winner. Derry, to me, are set up with that three at the back, the way they did against Pats, to really not concede and then hit somebody in the break with a Mickey Duffy or Josh Thomas or a Depot goal. But going to Galway, I think you need to have a wee bit more. I don't think you can rely on that just because the relentlessness of Galway and how they keep going, they get set pieces and they get long throughs. It's going to be a tough, tough game and it'll show the character of a lot of the players. But they did well there last year. It was a good one. So they'll not be fearing it too much. They'll be going there with they'll be confidence, they'll be down. But if they play the same way they did against St Pat's, I think they'll be all right.
Yeah, I think Caulfield is owed a good performance from his team, Barry, after their last game against Shamrock Rovers. It was that kind of the old, routine defeat for Galway United heading over to Talla Stadium. It never seems to go well for them there. I think were you on COCOM duty that night?
Yeah, it was. And the record there is incredibly poor. But you just look at that Galway team and you knew it wasn't going to change that night either. The way they were set up, to defend really deep, have a low block and have four sitting in front of that back five effectively. Just offered nothing really going forward. But to be fair to John, thereabouts where they should be, I think. Only losing by the odd goal in some of the games and beating the teams around them, and I think they've added some good options in there. There's Francis Lomboto, Walsh, Franz Piero. They've Tordic. Got goals in that team.
Yeah, Chris Tordic.
Yeah, he's done really well of late, and like if you look at the likes of a Sligo or Waterford around him, they kill for those players at the moment, and I think If the back line can stop giving up some really naive goals like they did in Tallaght, then they've got a good chance. If Facchinieri's come in and done all right, he's game enough. And Arthur Parker looked good in that game against Rovers. He looks like a good addition. The kind of Browder was kind of played. Browder was kind of played in front of a back four for about an hour. It worked. So, listen, they've got all sorts of tricks up their sleeves in John Caulfield's Arsenal. But listen, going there for Derry, it's a really tough place, and I think, as you said, they'll be relishing it.
Yeah, I think Bulger will relish getting stuck in with the Derry City midfield. Kazim looks really well as well since he's gone back there to Galway United. So Derry City away to Galway United, and then, as I mentioned, Sligo Rovers away. What do you think Tiernan Lynch will be hoping for, Gareth? What do you think is realistic? How do you see this going for Derry City this weekend?
It's hard to know. It really depends who turns up, what Derry City turn up, you know. If the resilient team that against Pats turn up, if the second hand half team that turns up against Drogheda, you're struggling. But I think he'd be happy with four. I think he'd be really delighted with 4 points. There's no doubt about that. Where he gets a one, I think he'd be looking probably more at Sligo for the one.
Yeah, absolutely. Galway United home to Derry City, and then they make the trip to Drogheda United on Monday night. What do you think John Caulfield will be looking for from those two matches, points-wise, Barry?
Yeah, I think he'd love four out of those, a draw at home and go to and get a result in Drogheda, but that's a lot easier said than done. I think if you offer them two now and keep these two games unbeaten, I think he'd take it now where they are in the league. So, yeah, 2 points would be a good return for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's close out with the champions. And the champions playing in what is a big game, I think, this Friday night. And maybe not so much for them, but for the home team, Waterford, Barry. A little bit like Tiernan Lynch, I think John Daly might be feeling the pressure at the RSC. They brought in a lot of good talent over the close season. Brought in some really good signings. They've also got the top scorer for the last two seasons, Pádraig Amant, playing for them as well. But then you look at the results over the last few weeks. They've yet to win a game this season, and they've drawn two matches and lost the rest. They've now lost five on the spin, most recently against St. Pat's. They were beaten 4-3 by Galway United, hammered 5-0 by Dundalk, 1-0 defeat at home against Bohemians, and a 4-2 against Derry City up the Ryan McBride Brandywell. It's just not looking good, is it, Barry? Do you see a way out for them?
I don't at the moment, and that's being honest. I think if you're an ownership there, it's the games against the teams around you that you kind of test yourself against, and shipping four against a far from free-flowing Galway and five against a promoted Dundalk, that's got alarm bells ringing. And John is probably another one who's had the phone on airplane mode this week, and you just look at one clean sheet all season, 19 goals conceded. It's incredibly poor, and I just don't think he knows his best 11 yet, or how to get his best players into the team. He's decided now, but it looks of it, that Amund and Lonergan can't play together. But in like a team devoid of match winners, he has to make it work somehow. And Noonan hasn't been the player we've hoped so far this season either. And when you go and spend 50 grand on a player like that, you're hoping for a return on that. And he's very young, and he did exceptionally well for them last season, but hasn't chipped in so far this season. And you just look at the defence, it's been incredibly poor. And you're pinning all your hopes on a 35-year-old centre half now coming in to shore up that defence. So in Kevin Long, and if that doesn't work, then I think John is another one who'd be looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, it's funny, Gareth, because we did their first match against Shelburne, absolutely brilliant in that first 45, probably 45 of the best minutes they've ever played under Joey O'Brien. And then the second 45, Waterford were excellent, and they had Mahon and Cann playing at in the centre-back positions. Cann, a bit more mobile defender. Mahon was like with body on the line stuff. It was proper defending. They defended their box so well in that second half, and they were really deserving of the 1-1 draw on that opening night. I just don't know what's gone wrong with them. I know Mahon's obviously had injuries. He's missed a couple of games, but it's just that it beggars belief what's happened since then.
Yeah, it's strange because, as you've seen, say that the teams, bar Mahon getting injured, there hasn't been a whole lot of injuries. There's been a lot of chopping and changing, and maybe it's just John Daly trying to get his settled side. But and I'll hope Kevin Long can bring a bit of experience and settle things down the way that they haven't been recently. But Cann has been good. I mean, kind of like when he went to Derry, he would have been bought and brought into the club as a kind of maybe someone that can come in now and again. But he's now found himself playing every week along with Mahon. And Mahon has been playing well, much better than he was for Sligo the year before. He's been a massive loss. So Kevin hopefully plug that hole. But again, Kevin and Ken, it's not the best at defence. And then they've let a lot of players go as well. Daryl Leahy was let go. They haven't really replaced a lot of these players. So it's a tough one. It's a tough spell.
Gareth? Sorry, I know I've mentioned this before. It's been bothering me. Luke Heaney playing as a right back. I don't understand why. Why did they sign him? Because I remember after one of the games last season for Drogheda United, he was immense in that defensive midfield role. And I think it was Kevin Doherty actually told me that the stats were showing that across the team, he runs the most kilometres on average in a match. Why would you put him at right back and not put up when you're struggling to keep your defence and to stop conceding goals? Why would you put him in as a right back? Would you not just put him in the defensive midfield position and try shore things up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned their legs. When you watch him playing, he's like a Duracell bunny. He's everywhere. And he's actually not bad on it as well when he pushes himself forward. I agree. His best position, it kind of comes back to the James McLean conversation. Luke Heaney, it's not his fault. He's been told where to play. But I would have him in the centre of midfield all day, especially when you're conceding so many goals and especially when you're so fragile right now. You would have two sitters. I know John Daly likes playing that 4-2-2-2, kind of very narrow, but it doesn't seem to be suiting him right now, and it's not suiting Luke Heaney to be playing right back. And the thinking is probably, well, if we're not going to play with a right winger, then we need a right back that can get up and down, and he's probably the only player that can do that with the athleticism to do that. They lost power, obviously, as well as a fullback, so it's probably just the haven't they put him there that there's no one else. But I agree with you, I would prefer him to centre mid.
Barry, look, Shamrock Rovers, I think everybody has been saying, you know, maybe it's after last season, everybody predicting that maybe Shells will win the title or St. Pat's, whatever the case may be. And of course, Shamrock Rovers did what they always normally do, well, apart from the 2024 season, is they went on and romped home to the title, although I suppose maybe at the end they tailed off a little bit, but because they'd built up such a lead, they were able to afford to, I suppose, trip their way to the title at the end of the season. But they're on 15 points now. They're only three behind Bowes, and they're going down now to a weak Waterford side. You'd fancy them in that game, and it just looks like everything is going really well for Shamrock Rovers, despite the fact that they may not have been at their best just yet.
No, you said, Stephen, and the one team that put it up to them this season was Bowes in Daily Mount, and they looked comfortable until the last 5 minutes of injury time. Bowes, they're excellent on the night, and nobody's really come and gone toe to toe with Shamrock Rovers this season. They've stayed off and they've gone into a low block, and it's been death by a thousand cuts for a lot of teams. They haven't hit their stride as of yet. They're ahead of where they were the last couple of seasons in terms of points returns, so that's ominous enough in itself. But when you look at the performances in the games, they've gone and beaten their contenders early, as they've usually done. They've gone and beaten Pats. They went to beat Derry as well, got a draw against Shells, went to Sligo and won. And listen, they take care of business at home. That's their kind of motive at the moment. They go and take care of teams at home and then pick up points away from home. But when you look at the performance as well, I haven't been massively over-impressed either. I think Shabawale's come in and has done okay. Hasn't been great. He's moved Danny Grant on to play left wing back against Galway, and I didn't see that as a position that particularly needed to be strengthened. But I think they need more from a couple of players. I think Jack Ryan's come in and been really good since he's been reintroduced. I think Victor Rajivuna, and I'm loath to kind of be harsh on him because he's only 17. I think you need more out of him. I think if you're going to keep somebody else out of the team, you need to perform. I don't think he is getting to those levels at the moment. But what's the difference between Shamrock Rovers and everyone else is the bench. You look at the substitutions they're able to make, the three and four substitutions at a time. They change games. It was in the balance against Galway. Bring on Aaron Green, gets the second and wraps up the points, and many times over the last couple of games have we seen those the Graham Burks, Jack Burns being introduced, Dylan Watts from the bench and turning games around. That's the difference between them and other teams at the moment. And you just need somebody to go else to step up and have the confidence to go toe to toe with them and really take them on and at their own games and see if they can beat them that way, because it's inevitable if they sit back, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's I'd say they must rub their hands with glee, especially when they're playing at home. Barry, you know, they see teams coming and as you say, play a low block, trying to defend it. And as you said, like it's a maybe performs like Bowes or other teams who do decide to take them on toe to toe. Shells have done it as well, and they've come a cropper. So it's just, you'd wonder why teams don't maybe just go for it. If you're going to get beaten with a low block, why not change up and try a different way? If you're going to get beaten, you're going to get beaten anyway.
Yeah, it's nearly one of those where you decide before a season how many points you'd be happy with, and you look down the list of games, you go, Shamrock Rovers away, well, if we got a point in that, it'd be great. And you set up and you have that mindset all week, and you set a team up accordingly, and that's what happens. And inevitably, you can't survive for 90 minutes. But it's the teams that have come to Tala and really stepped up and got in the face. You see, Pats did it last year at one point, and a couple of other teams down through the last couple of seasons have come up and gone toe to toe. And you look at the results, it's generally a home where the results come for those teams, where the impetus is on a home team to go and take it to Shamrock Rovers. You've got the fans behind you expecting you to come out and get on the front foot. And that's where Rovers can be taken down a little bit. And you look at the difference between, say, them going to Sullivan and Lamb Park and getting a nil-all draw, and Drogheda being really good on the night, and then coming to Tala and not being in that position to go and do that. It seems to happen year in, year out, and you're just looking for somebody, a Derry, a Pats, Shells, Bowes, one of these big teams to consistently do that. And then you'll see what Rovers are really made of. I'm sure they still have the quality to go and do it, but you'd love a challenge from someone else.
Yeah, it seems to be interesting to see Monday night whenever the Shelburne go to Tala, see what they do. Last year's match between Rovers and Shelburne was unbelievable. It was probably the best match I've watched in the League of Ireland for a while, quality-wise. Now, there's been better games where Bowes beat Derry 4-3, but that game, quality-wise, control, attacking, technical ability, the two teams were exceptional on the night. So it'll be interesting to see what tactics Shells do on Monday night.
Yeah, what would you expect from them then? Well, now that you're saying it, Gareth, if you were Joey O'Brien, who's setting your team up, how do you go and take that Rovers team on?
Well, I would do exactly what I did last year, because they went toe-to-toe. It was probably a 50-50, but Shells probably shaded that game, and they won it in the middle of the park. They were really, really basically aggressive and athletic in the middle of the park. Henry Francis was incredible. He was exceptional.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Now, they were good at the back and they had everyone fit that day. But as a Shells team, that's the best I've seen them play. So I would target the centre of the park. When you've got Burn, you've got Watts there, and you've got Healy, if you can nullify that, that's like the brain and the engine and the quality of Shamrock Rovers. I think that the players around that, McGovern obviously up front, Green, the players around, if you can nullify that centre four, I think you've got a serious chance. And that's exactly what Shells did last year.
Yeah, that's a real mouth-watering tie. I'd imagine the Rovers fans, Barry, are going down to Waterford thinking they'll get the 3 points and come back. And the big day for them really is on Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, but this league has a way of smacking you in the face, isn't it? And when a team's under pressure like that down in Waterford, there's no worse time to go down and play them, really. For me, especially with a break, you're looking for John to have got on the pitch, got instilled what he wants from that team. You've got a week, it's like your first album, you've got your whole life preparing for it. You've got a week and a half now before this game for Waterford to have Shamrock Rovers coming down the road. You know what they're about, you know where you can get at them. Listen, it's more of a tough one, I think, than it looks on paper. And then, listen, Monday takes care of itself. It's another huge game. And Gareth's right, the Shells flooded the midfield last time they came, that kind of 3-4-2-1, 3 at the back. And they were excellent in midfield and put it up to Rovers, went toe-to-toe with the quality that Rovers have in midfield, and were excellent on the night. And it should be something similar on Monday, but it's about taking care of business for Rovers down in Waterford.
Just briefly on a man who made his debut against in that last game against Galway, Asamoah Malisse. Barry, I know you've only seen 67 minutes of him. What can we expect from him, do you think?
Yeah, he's got real pace to him and quality. Obviously, we remember him a lot from the Waterford era. He's an excellent player. He offers real pace to that. And I think that's those kind of signings are geared towards European runs. I think Stephen has learned over the years down through the games they played in Europe that pace is a massive outlet in European games. So those kind of signings, maybe the Shabawale signing as well on that side, is down to having real power and pace in those positions. You look at the likes of Neil Ferrugia moving on last season. He offered so much in those type of positions, left and right wing. So that's kind of where I see him playing and really coming to the fore.
Then I suppose looking at I did want to mention one player. And I know he got a great kick out of doing the celebrations himself with the old walking stick last year, Aaron Green, old man Greener. You played with him, Gareth, didn't you? Bowes won the pair of one season wonders at Dalymount Park.
he's some boy. It's just a true pro. I mean, when we talk about Ammons, when you talk about Green, when you talk about who's the other player getting on, they were talking about recently. These boys being able to play at the levels that they're playing. Because you got to remember, when me and Barry were playing back in 2010, 2011, whatever it was, the game was completely different. It's moved on. It's quicker. It's more athletic. Like, it's much more difficult now to play in this era than it was in our era. And Greener's just looked after his body so much that he's able to do it.
Yeah, I think even if he is slow, Gareth, like he's got that real, he's got the centre forward skills, doesn't he? He's able to use his body in the right way, make space in the box, that kind of thing, isn't it?
That comes with experience, but he's still quick, Steve-o. He's like that's the thing. He hasn't lost any of his pace. Whereas you know yourself, we've seen players that are quick or rely on their pace. They lose their pace and they look a shadow of themselves. But as you say, he's got a bit of trickery, a bit of skill as well, and he can use his body and a bit of experience. But it's the way he looks after himself is allowing him to do it at this level, and it's the same with Ammond.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that should be an interesting weekend for Shamrock Rovers, who play Waterford away and then Shelburne. What are you thinking, Gareth, for them points wise? Will they be looking for the big six, or would four do them?
Yeah, no, I think Stephen Bradley will be looking for six, but I think Joey O'Brien will be looking for at least a point from that Monday night fixture. But I don't see them having any problem taking care of Waterford on Monday. So they'll be going from 46, would it take your pick, depending on the Monday night. And the Monday night seems like a 50-50.
Yeah, and then Waterford, they've got the two big Dublin clubs, Shamrock Rovers, on the Friday night, and then on Monday they're away to Bohemians. And, well, you know what I mean, the two arch rivals. I don't want to be annoying Shelburne and Pats fans saying the two big Dublin clubs. The two arch rivals. what do you think, John Daly? I'm sure he'd be hoping for even a point out of those two matches, the way they're playing at the moment. What are you thinking, Barry, for them?
Yeah, I think he'd snap your hand off for 2 points out of those two games. They're going to need to come up with something quickly. I think the first thing you'd be looking at is stem the tide and stop conceding goals and put in a real performance. But I think for him himself, I think he needs results. Definitely on the Monday, like after the weekend, if you can come away with 2 points, I think that might keep off the vultures a little bit. But yeah, I think more realistically, if they can get a point out of either of those two games, it'll be a half decent weekend for him, because I can't see much from either, but he'll be looking for two or three.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Barry, as ever, across Off the Ball, whether you're on a Friday on LOI Late Night or co-commentary duty myself, you've been absolutely brilliant. And it's been great having you on the podcast this week, Gareth. Great stuff from you as ever as well. Looking forward to chatting next week after we get the League of Ireland back this weekend. Lads, like, honest to God, this summer, who wants the World Cup when you've got the League of Ireland in June and July, hey?
Now you're talking. Now you're talking.
Cheers, lads. All the best.
Amen.
Cheers, lads.
The LOI Pod. On Off the Ball, catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.